What's up, sports fans? Welcome to episode one of Sports Breakers Podcast, presented by Cinnamon Movie Podcast. We're here, episode one. I am your host, Juan, and I'm joined by the guys. Craig, what's up?
Yo, what's going on?
Kevin, how you doing?
Not too bad. Living the life.
Is that a Green Bay shirt on? You repping Green Bay?
Yes, sir. Man. Yes, sir.
You know, I saw that Texas made it into the finals, or the March tournament, March Madness. Big 12 championship bracket tournament was just finished this past weekend, along with all the other conference championships. So let's dig into some of the topics. If this is your first time listening or watching anything on this channel, this is the Cinnamon Movie Podcast presents Sports Breakers Live. You can watch us on Amos and Watt Productions YouTube channel, Facebook Live, and wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also check us out on the social medias. Follow us at facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Instagram is all one word, / The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X is at cinnamon405. And then the email is cinnemen921@gmail.com. So let's dig into it. Why not? We start talking about basketball right off the bat. NCAA's March Madness is kicking off. There's some games happening tomorrow. Most of the majority is happening Wednesday. Is this not the best time of year for college basketball fans?
Greatest time of the year, I feel.
Yeah, there's certain sporting events that are at the top of my list. This is one of them. March Madness is always, you know, it's you watch college basketball throughout the year, and you know there's some good games. Sometimes you feel like the play is a little too slow with the man and being able to stay in the paint, but man, when March Madness comes around, it's a totally different ball game.
It's like the Super Bowl for college basketball.
So I wanted to bring this up to you because, I mean, I like watching basketball, but I'm not the biggest basketball follower. So, like, when a lot of these games are going on with the men's tournament, like, does it irritate you that there are some games that are, like, at 2 p.m., 1 p.m., maybe even 3 when most of us are at work and you don't get to really catch most of these games? Or are you like, hey, as long as I can see number 2 versus number 6 on a Thursday night, that's all I care about?
Yeah, I mean, technically, some people can watch them at work. I'm not going to say who. But it's just that first weekend. I mean, when everything's so hectic, you have 2-3 games on at a time, TNT, TBS, you know, whatever station they're on. It's just cool to have that much going on with that much on the line at the same time. And so I just try to watch it whenever I can.
To me, it's kind of like the World Cup. You know, some Americans find time out of their day, even though they're not big soccer fans. When it comes to the NCAA tournament, it's a big thing. And it helps a lot of these schools and these kids out. It helps businesses, restaurants, anything around.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a big deal. It supports colleges and these kids. So, it's their Super Bowl. And it's kind of – that atmosphere is nothing like it.
Yeah, and Johnny, you know, you said, is it kind of hard for people to watch the games at, you know, noon to 3 o'clock with it being a work or school day? In high school, depending on your teacher, if you had a TV in the classroom, it was on. You know what I mean? So you just got to be in the right situation. You can watch it whenever you want. You know what I mean?
So Selection Sunday was last night. We know who's playing who in the tournament. The games kick off here in just a few days. What turned you guys on about round one going into the opening games? Are there any matchups up there that you're just like looking at and you're like, okay, this is going to be a game. I don't care who wins really, but it's going to be a game that I just have to watch. Or is there a lot of, is round one going to be a lot of cakewalks?
No, I think there's a few sleepers in there. Like Kevin said, you got New Mexico playing the 6-seed Clemson. They're really only the 11 seed because of the conference they came out of. Drake and Washington State. I feel like I think Washington State is the favorite by just a couple points, but I like Drake in that one. You know, a lot of those 8-9, 7-10 matchups are pretty good.
You know, and Creighton, that's another one. They only got three teams in from their conference. But any one of those teams can go to a Final Four. You know, that conference is a little different. So, and I mean, even KU, they sat players during their Big 12 little tournament run. They usually win every year, and I don't even know if they can beat the number 15 team, if I believe. They're playing Fordham?
Stanford. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
A couple years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So
yes, yes.
Yeah, I don't think Kansas is the Kansas that everybody's used to. I think they're still really good, but I mean, it's hard to judge. I was going to say they have no bench, and it's kind of hard to judge in the new Big 12 with, I mean, Baylor just won the tournament last year. Texas Tech was in the final a couple years ago. Kansas is good. From Texas top to A&M bottom, the Big 12 is solid. So it's kind of hard to judge those teams in the Big 12. But you know that in a day-to-day grind in the Big 12, much like – I'm not going to say much like the ACC, but the ACC has proven teams that are always going to find ways to be good. It's a little bit different this year because North Carolina doesn't have Roy Williams. Duke doesn't have Krzyzewski. So we'll see how that plays out. But I want to see how the Big 12 fares in this tournament.
Oh, most definitely. Because Texas A&M's in it, and they're a sleeper team too, I feel.
Texas A&M has got a lot of steam coming into the playoffs or the tournament.
So you guys going in and, you know, you guys usually do a bracket, whether it be, you know, playing a little bracket pool at work or just something for some self-pride at home. Are you guys who do you have? Are the brackets are filled out, right? Do you guys have an actual who's moving on from this next round? Do you guys want to talk about that or save that for another day?
Yeah, I mean, you can go through. I kind of went through and just did like a dry run, like who do I think? You know, just kind of based off of who's played who and results and stuff like that. I think 6 BYU versus 11 Duquesne, I think that's going to be a matchup to look out for an upset. Just because BYU is good at sometimes and then they're off some nights. So I think that's one to look out for. Man.
Yeah, there's a lot of good games. I mean, it's kind of hit or miss when it comes down to the tournament, but there is always going to be that Cinderella team.
Yeah.
You know, and it's usually somebody that 8 to even 16 seed that just surpasses everybody's knowledge and gets the Elite Eight, sometimes the Final Four. Yeah.
I think if you're looking for like a top 2 or 3 games to watch for the first round, South Carolina, Oregon, I think it's going to be a really good one. Utah State, TCU, just kind of depending on – I know they're smaller programs, but they're 8-9, so they're fairly close in comparison, so I think it'll be a good matchup. And then I think that Nebraska-Texas A&M matchup is going to be pretty good in the first round.
Yeah. Fred Hoiberg, he's a coach in Nebraska. He has a lot of college history. You know, played for Iowa State, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, some of these coaches are young. They've played in these tournaments, so they're getting these kids ready.
Who's the coach at UConn? Is it still they changed the head coach, did they not?
Yes. He's not the one that won it last year. Because if they won this year, they would be repeating champs.
Dan Hurley.
So they won the national championship last year and let their head coach go, or he retired?
I think he
stepped down.
Yes, he had to step down.
Some allegations
for some reasons.
No, I wouldn't say allegations. I honestly don't know right offhand.
So round one starts March, technically 19th, 20th. When does round one end? Does it go from Tuesday to Sunday?
Friday.
Well, that opening weekend, you have there's going to be games on Thursday, games on Friday, games on Saturday and Sunday. And then round two will start back up, I think, that Thursday. So it's kind of like Thursday through Sunday cycle.
March 23rd is when round two starts. Okay.
Kevin Hawley was the men's basketball coach
for
UConn. And I don't want to say why he stepped down, but he did. So, but very interesting that you have a team that won last year with a head coach and then came back with a new head coach and has the number one overall seed. I mean, that's consistency in the program. That's a good culture.
Yeah.
Because they promoted within, too. So it's not like they went out and got somebody new.
Yeah, he was an assistant coach.
So I think if any, you know, a lot of people might be saying Houston just because I think Houston is the area. They're big. They got defense. But as we saw versus Iowa State, if they're not hitting threes or their shots, they can kind of get shut down a little bit. So
they almost got beat by 30.
Yeah, that was bad. It's bad. But I don't think any of the top four teams, maybe UConn, won their tournament.
Purdue lost. Yeah, UConn, I think, won. Yes, they did. Purdue lost. They lost to Wisconsin.
Yep. Purdue lost to Wisconsin. North Carolina lost to NC State.
NC State ended up winning the tournament to get in.
Yeah. So sometimes I would say you go back and look at those tournaments just to kind of gauge how teams perform under pressure. But like Kevin said, Kansas kind of set some of their players thinking, you know, oh, we won, you know, we're Kansas, we're, you know, regular season and conference championships. We've got a dime a dozen. So let's kind of get ready for the play in. But you can't really look at the tournaments because none of the top four teams won them except for UConn. So
I have a quick question. There are some teams that don't know their opponent yet. Like,
There's a few. So Florida doesn't know. Texas
doesn't have one. North Carolina doesn't have a matchup yet. The games that are being played tomorrow, are those like the wild card? Like whoever wins tomorrow gets into the tournament?
Yeah, so there's a last four in, so to speak. And then there's a spot for smaller conferences. So you have two games of four 16 seeds trying to fight for two spots and two games of four 10 seeds trying to fight for two spots.
Okay.
It's first four in, first four out.
Yep.
And then so like a team like, you know, North Carolina, who they won't know their opponent is till what, probably tomorrow night, same with Texas. And what's the difference? Like a number one seed, UConn, or, you know, North Carolina, they don't know their opponent till tomorrow. But like...
No. Let's see.
Or at least on this bracket, which is an updated bracket.
So North
bracket.
Carolina is either going to play it won't pull up for me. They're either going to play Howard or the Wagner Seahawks. I mean, both, I don't even know what conferences they're in. So that tells you kind of why they're the 16 seed.
Okay.
But it's so that they could put in conferences that, you know, won their conferences and or teams that won their conferences and, you know, there's
they
no
win their tournament. You win your tournament, you get an automatic invite.
Yeah.
Okay. These are the guys that won their tournament, so they get an automatic invite. They're almost they're Division I, but
they're
not the power five. how, if you would look at it, like college football, basketball does the same thing. You know, you have your power conferences, everything like that. And believe it or not, one of those teams could accept upset a number one seed. It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
It could happen this year.
Yep.
Stanford, it happens almost every year.
Dayton. And there's a lot of
And Dayton's a regular stay in the tournament.
Yeah.
Ever since, something like that.
And what's fun about basketball compared to we're moving to a 12 team is it eight this year for college football?
12. Was it 12?
12 team.
Which now they're trying to talk about a 14 team, and you know, those are cool and everything, but even those games are bigger blowouts than what you would think. But in college basketball, it's different because it's five people. You can have one guy that's the next Michael Jordan of the NBA coming out of some small school and completely lights it. Steph Curry at Davidson. He was there. Davidson.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went on to, what, the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16?
Elite Eight.
So, I mean, you have one guy that catches fire and you play good team defense and you can go a long way. And that's what makes it so much fun is there's so much more possibility in a college basketball.
Ja Morant, that's what made Ja Morant was his college career.
That run was an awesome year for that.
So do you guys want to pick? You guys want to pick maybe who a Cinderella team might be before we head on to the next subject? Do you want to? We'll know all the teams for sure next time we talk basketball on Wednesday, for episode two. Or do you guys want to save your picks for Wednesday or Friday's episode? We always give them something to come back to.
I have my little dark horse. You know, I'll say it if something else. New Mexico State. They're a little sneaky.
Yeah.
That's just a dark horse for me.
Man.
Unless KU loses first round, I wouldn't be surprised.
Sometimes, you know, you can look at a team and think, oh, you know, they might win their first round. But if you really want a good Cinderella story, you need to look at the surrounding games in the bracket. So, like, say Drake versus Washington State. Say Drake beats Washington State and they go to the second round and they play number two Iowa State. Iowa State's been hot. They've also been cold in a couple of their games. You know, they haven't lost many, but they've won quite a few, I believe, by single digits. So say Drake gets hot, they beat the 7 seed, they beat the 2 seed. All of a sudden, they're in the Sweet 16 facing maybe a 6 seed BYU. You know, that's how Cinderella teams kind of get going. It's not just their luck in the first round versus their own team, but it's the other side of that bracket in the same kind of division. So, but I do like Drake. I also like
Creighton. They feel they come from a weak conference, people feel, but I think they can perform. Their coach has been there for a while.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Kevin though. I think New Mexico. You beat the number 6 Clemson. You go to the second round, Baylor or Colgate. And then after that, Dayton and Arizona. I mean, Arizona, they've been hot in the tournament the regular season the last couple of years, and then they kind of disappear.
Yeah, they fizzle out.
Yep.
So we'll know all the games, and we'll know most of everything will be kicking off on Wednesday. So it should be some interesting talk. Friday's episode is going to be pretty packed. So we'll be almost completely finished with the first round, I believe, on Friday. And then by the time we come back next Monday, it's going to be like, man, Sweet 16 talk almost already. So.
Yeah. But I'll say this. My official sleeper, even though they are a Power 5, I'm going to go with Oregon. Just because I think they match up well with South Carolina. They probably got the speed and the size.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not playing a Power 5 in the second round, even though it is Creighton, and they are, you know, a mainstay in the tournament, and they have been for quite a while. But you get past South Carolina, you get past Creighton, all of a sudden you're in the Sweet 16 versus a number 7 Texas team. So.
We are just 2 days away and a month away, two days and a month away from spring games officially kicking off. Talking a little college football. It's that time of year. It feels like forever ago since we just talked about the national championship, but spring games will be kicking off in a few weeks.
Some have already happened.
Oh, that's early.
Yeah, Missouri happened the other day. Can't think of any others off the top of my head, but they've been going on.
So OU spring game, which is where we are in that Midwest regional area, their spring game is April 20th this year. First year in the SEC. What are we expecting from an SEC spring game? Obviously, OU has no issues selling out their spring game as if it was an actual fucking regular season game. This one, I feel like they could charge full season ticket prices and it'd still be a sellout.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of talk going around Norman. I spent the weekend in Norman this past weekend, and these kids are hyped. There's graffiti over so many random busted out walls. They are ready for the SEC and they're ready for football. And it's like not even April yet.
Yeah, I mean, since that date was announced, Texas and Oklahoma, fans of both sides have been kind of awaiting this day. We kind of left officially the day after the national championship, so to speak. We left way before then, but Texas had to wait a little bit longer. But it's not just that you're leaving the Big 12. It's not just that you're joining a different conference. It's for the first couple of years, I mean, I would say at least the first 6 years, a home and away with each team, you're getting different venues. You're getting different opponents, different feelings to games. You know, it's not just, the last.
It's almost a national championship feel almost every game now.
Yeah, or we'll go bowl game. Just because, there are some subpar teams in the SEC, as in every conference. But just like a bowl game, it's a rival or a team you're not used to. You get matchups that you're different. I think the biggest thing with going to the SEC and just a different conference in general, and, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, they're all going to get to experience this as well. Colorado coming back. It's just the different traditions at each school. You get to see that, and you get to see your school with them, whereas bowl games are a little more
showy. Kind of about the sponsor. Yeah.
It's about the sponsor.
Media.
It's about it's much more NFL like. Whereas on a Saturday, you go down to Gainesville and you're getting the Swamp in full capacity, or LSU in the, I can't even think of what they call it, but you go to a night game at LSU and it's just completely different than anything you've had in the last 40 years as an OU fan. So I think it's going to be something awesome.
It's going to be great because the fans overall, you're going to get these games that are just more intense. Like I said, fan base. It's about the schools and the kids.
Yeah.
And that's where that feeling of the bowl game is, because the bowl game is about money. To some of these kids.
Especially with NIL now.
Yeah. It's going to be the game of their life.
One thing I hope they do moving to the 14 team, I know they've been talking about it and they haven't officially voted on it yet, but that first round should be on campus for the higher seeded team.
Yes, it should be like a divisional round.
Yeah, it's you do the first round on campus and you're generating more money for these schools with them having to play more games. And it keeps the bowl game sites
prestigious.
You're not just going there for a 1 versus 14. Well, it wouldn't be one because the first couple of teams get matchup. But say like a 4 versus 14 matchup or a 5 versus 14. You don't want to see that in the Rose Bowl. That needs to be for.
You're not tarnishing it.
yeah, you're leaving the sanctity of the bowl games as the bowl games.
I get what you mean.
Allowing campuses to be great.
It would feel more special because, like, say a 14 team like an Arizona State, like, do they really deserve to be in the Rose Bowl?
Right. Like, I mean, they deserve to be in the play-in or the playoffs, but
but not representing that goal. You know, those were like top tier teams back in the day that was earned.
Yeah.
I think a whole nother thing that needs to be fixed is the transfer portal and sitting out.
They've changed the date.
Yeah. Okay. So now they have to play the bowl game, right?
Well, no, you can still sit out, but I think by adding more meaningful playoff games, you're going to get, I'm trying to think, Ohio State sat out a bunch of people versus Missouri. You're in the playoffs. All of a sudden, maybe Marvin Harrison sits out just because he knows how much money he could lose if he gets hurt, even though he'll still probably get drafted high. You're going to get a lot of those players that come in and play that game because it has meaning behind it.
Did I not hear it right, though? Like, if he would have stayed another year, he would have made more money at Ohio State than he would have the NFL?
Yes.
Probably.
To me, that's just mind-boggling. Like, you get more money playing college football than your first year in the NFL.
Well, so, yes, as a one-year deal, a college athlete could make more money. But if you want to look through it, through probably what his agent's telling him, because his agent's going to make more money in the long run if he gets to the NFL sooner.
Plus, like, sponsors and stuff like that.
You get that rookie contract done and out of the way when you're in your prime, then you sign that $65, $85 million deal, whatever wide receivers are at now currently. You get there sooner instead of, you know, $5 billion here in college for one more year.
Kevin, before we move on, you still represent OU, or you've adopted the Jayhawk life?
No, I'm OU.
All the way.
till the day I die. Period.
NFL free agency kicked off in a big way. We had the pilot episode on a Saturday. Kevin, it's like Sunday, Monday came along, and it's like our episode was already outdated because of how free agency hit super, super fast. We can go off by talking about Russell Wilson signing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Saquon Barkley's going to the Eagles. Kirk Cousins signed with the Atlanta Falcons. Josh Jacobs signed with the Green Bay Packers.
Pollard to the Titans.
Oh. The Bears signed DeAndre Swift. Fletcher
Cox. What's your Cowboys do? Retirement.
You know what they did? They didn't do a damn thing.
They had this up their butts.
I don't know what. I don't know what's going on. The only thing I can hope that they have. I was even like, oh, Derrick Henry visited Dallas. At least let's let Pollard go and sign Derrick Henry. And from what I heard, Derrick Henry's agent was like, Dallas didn't want to pay that much money for Derrick Henry. And I'm like, you just lost Tony Pollard. You have nobody in the backfield. Yeah. Are you going to let the little Darren Sproles Jr. from Kansas State?
He's
going to be like Tyreek Hill, chucking deuces.
He's not a 2,000-yard running back. And I feel like with the offensive line Dallas has, you need somebody who can try to hit 2,000. Take a lot of pressure off of Prescott. And the only thing I can think of is that they want to somehow get some – I feel like they want to get Zeke for nothing. They want to bring Zeke in for literally not that big of a contract and maybe have somebody else in the draft go behind Zeke and have a 1-2 punch with that. But at the end of the day, I'm like, if we had Zeke in the background against Miami that game on Thanksgiving, I think – you know, I really do think Dallas would have won that game. Tony Pollard would have been wide open, but the draft is Sunday or Wednesday, April the – it's on a Wednesday. It's on a Thursday. Wednesday, April 25th. Wednesday, April 25th. Yeah.
Why is the combine a month out, a month plus? That makes zero sense.
School, they have their pro days.
Yeah, pro days. Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys offseason so far has made no sense.
You add a linebacker to an already stacked defense, You lose.
Well, they just lost a linebacker today to retirement.
Who?
Van Der Esch.
Mm-hmm.
He retired today.
Wow. But you lose Cedric Wilson. You lose Tony Pollard.
I do like the defensive coordinator spot in Dallas. I think bringing in Mike Zimmer to that defense, what he did back in the 90s for Dallas is completely, you know, so 30 years ago. But I think he can still bring that mentality, something that Dan Quinn didn't bring to Dallas. And also, I was never a fan of the defensive coordinator being up in the box. I'm a huge fan of the defensive coordinator being on the sidelines with his men, with his soldiers, going to battle just like that. Reminds me of good old Will Muschamp back in the day.
I think Dan Quinn was a very good, very relatable with the players. And I think that bode well for morale. But I do think Mike Zimmer might have a little bit more juice up his sleeve compared to Dan.
He was actually a pretty good, decent head coach when he was with the Vikings. Because he didn't run the offense, he ran the defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the defense when with the Vikings was pretty solid back then.
Purple People Eaters, and that was a new version compared to the 70s version.
Yeah.
I also don't like how they just seem like they don't want to spend any money, Cowboys go, as far as like in the offseason. It's like you have to spend a little bit if you want. I know the defense is solid, but Michael Gallup, you don't want to pay Michael Gallup. He's already gone. Tony Pollard's gone.
Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, so you have to get – I think you have to put somebody else in the slot. Dax up front is being protected. That's no issue. But, like, who's going to run the ball? He can't throw it 400 yards a game. No matter
how didn't you guys let go one of your offensive linemen, Mr. Smith?
Yeah. Mr. Smith, yeah. He is going to go protect Aaron Rodgers now in New York.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, good for him, you know, because I think New York can be solid if they just get off of Hard Knocks. But I think I really do think Dallas is just kind of like the way Jerry Jones is. It wouldn't surprise me if he's like, we were a game away from making a run last year. I think we can do the same this year. No, you're not.
No,
you're not a game away.
You were a game away. Yes. But on the way there, it could have been six games away. You got lucky in a lot of those.
Yeah.
You won a couple close ones in the early in the year. You won maybe a few you shouldn't have, but Dallas is – I don't know what they're thinking, man. I honestly don't know. You're paying Dak $55, $60 million a year.
He's about to be Micah the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, yeah.
You're not going to be able to get day one talent. They only have what, one first rounder, if that?
Yeah, there's
one.
Even if they had two first rounders, I don't think there's enough talent in this draft.
You can't fill the holes. Yeah.
No.
Nope.
And most of your draft is wide receivers, offensive linemen, and quarterbacks, mainly quarterbacks.
They have
there's no running backs really at all.
And I think they need to get round one. I think they get to need a solid defensive tackle. And then I think round two, they need to get a running back and then possibly another left tackle somewhere in the third or fourth round. Because when teams could run against Dallas last year, it was over. Dallas gave up a lot of rushing yards.
But let's be honest. Let's look at
Baker Mayfield, though. Baker Mayfield signed a huge, you know, he's going to payday to be the franchise quarterback in Tampa. So
well-deserved. My man made it out of Cleveland. Made it out of Carolina where they didn't want him. They wanted him to be a scapegoat. Made it out of all of it and came out on the other side. Even if
he bet on himself.
Even if he doesn't become the next Tom Brady for Tampa, you know, where they go on a little run, the man still did what nobody thought he was going to do. They called him a bust the year after when he was battling that shoulder injury and they got bounced from the playoffs. So,
well, we touched on it on the pilot episode about the Baker Mayfield issue, because I am a Baker fan. One, because of OU, and I like his attitude and the way he plays, you know. But Mike Evans signing, and Fred, you had brought that up. Well, hey, Is that why you think that'd bring Baker back? And I felt it would, and it did. I felt that was one of the reasons why he did come back, because Mike Evans didn't jump ship.
I don't think Baker wanted to either. I think the only reason Mike signed was because they were keeping Baker.
Yeah.
One found out about the other, and they probably both decided to stay. If you lose Mike Evans that first week of free agency, I think you lose Baker too.
Oh, yeah. If Mike would have walked, so would have Baker. And that the whole free agency quarterback thing would have been a different deal.
But now look at the NFC North. You have Pittsburgh with Fields and Russell Wilson. You have Cleveland with Watson. And then, obviously, you know, Burrow and Lamar Jackson. NFC North is getting to be stacked. And I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if all four teams in that AFC North made a playoff run. Pittsburgh was just pretty much a decent quarterback away last year from winning their playoff game.
George Pickens stock. You get him a decent quarterback that has some accuracy on him, depending on which Russell Wilson we're getting or they're getting. I'm not a Steelers fan by any means. But, you know, it's like you said, they were a quarterback away from – they still were, what, 9-7 in the playoffs?
Yeah.
10-7.
Yep, still won 10 games. And you know what? I don't think it was a Russell Wilson issue last year. I talked about this on the pilot episode. I think it was a Denver issue. Look at how many quarterbacks they've been going through since Peyton Manning left.
It was not a
Russell Wilson issue by a long shot. I know he's being a game manager and he's tossing down check downs, but guess what? He did the same thing in Seattle and was successful. Why should he have to change his game and try to be successful in another area if they're not willing to work around him?
Also, look at the coach he had in Seattle compared to Denver.
Yeah.
You know, she have Sean Payton, who's a stickler, you know, compared to Pete Carroll.
That's another thing, though. I think Sean Payton has a certain air about him. He probably thinks he can walk on water, but you also got to look at, like, dude, you had Drew Brees for a majority of your coaching career.
Yeah.
So.
As soon as Drew Brees left, guess what happened? He got fired. So.
So NFL free agency has been completely just nuts. I think we're going to have a pretty interesting draft. Let's talk about that next team, though. They got the number one overall pick. We talked about it before we went on air live. The way the Chicago Bears dealt with the whole Justin Fields issue, if I'm Caleb Williams, I'm telling – oh, I forgot he doesn't have an agent yet. I'm completely –
he got his daddy.
I'm telling daddy, hey, get me out of Chicago. If they draft me, I'm sitting for an entire year. If they draft me, I want the Eli Manning treatment. Send me somewhere else. You guys agree? Or, you know, everybody has been on Caleb Williams for the last several weeks saying he's being too cocky. But now, honestly, looking at the way Chicago handled Fields, I wouldn't disagree with him. What do you guys think?
I wouldn't disagree with it at all. I mean, Caleb Williams is kind of full of himself, but you're not supposed to treat a quarterback like that after your GM says, I'm going to do right by the kid, and doesn't do anything till last minute.
And the thing that's baffling is they drafted Justin Fields, what, fifth overall just a few years ago?
11th.
11th in the first round, and now they traded him away for a fifth-round pick?
Sixth-round pick. It could turn into a four.
That's
yeah, it makes it worse.
Depending on how much playing time he gets, it could be a fourth-round pick.
Yeah. So they've already completely taken money off this kid's table.
I was already just stuck with Fields when it comes to the Bears.
So now that move right there tells me that they're drafting Caleb Williams. But if I'm Caleb Williams, I would not be and I know this is kind of like hypocritical talk, Kevin. A few weeks ago, I was like, you should just be thankful to play in the NFL. You have the option to play quarterback it doesn't matter what franchise it is, but the way Chicago completely just handled Justin Fields, like, no.
Look,
that's going to set their team back another 10 years.
I don't want to trash on somebody for the career that the career paths he took following old Tebow out west, but I don't think I'll put this about as nicely as possible. I don't think he has the juice. I don't think he has that mental capacity to be a leader in the NFL. A man among men. He was barely a man among boys at USC. You know what I mean? Like when the going got tough, it was him and Lincoln on the sideline. And I think that there's that difference between what he grew up with at Oklahoma and USC compared to what the NFL is all about. You don't have Lincoln over here telling you every little thing like, oh, this route's this, this route's that. There's good coaches in the NFL. Let's be honest. Lincoln's on another level offensively. He cracks under pressure, but he's offensively a genius. I don't think you're going to get that at Chicago. I don't think you're going to get that at a lot of places. It's here's the system. Here's how you read the plays. Go out there and do it.
And what you just saying, he'll crack under pressure because Justin Fields went through two head coaches, two GMs, three different offensive coordinators.
The Bears
you have to adjust to that. Yeah. Caleb Williams cannot handle that because he went from OU transferred to USC.
The same system.
Same system. And things got rough and he still couldn't handle it.
Same system, different jerseys.
Yeah.
Lincoln took the strength
him coach. With them. Yep.
You had the offensive coordinator with you. You had the linebackers and everything. You pretty much had top to bottom with a few missing spots, running game, O-line, the same thing at OU you had at USC. There was, even though he made a change, there was zero difference because it was him and Lincoln.
And he still couldn't be a leader. That's the difference, too. He's not a leader.
On the field, he can do miraculous things. His arm strength is second to none. His throwing off balance is second to none. But running away from college athletes is completely different than running away from TJ Watt coming off the edge. From, let's see, what, the Bears? So you're going to have
Fred Warner.
Yeah.
You know,
but look at
the linebacker.
The rivals that he's going to have, you know, that he plays twice a year, the three other teams.
Detroit, Green Bay.
Detroit, you're going to have, what's his name? White guy.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. Aiden Hutchinson from Wisconsin.
Dude runs funny as can be, but he's productive. You know, he has pressure. Detroit has a great system. I think Dan Campbell, going back to watching Hard Knocks with Detroit, you were like, man, that's a great coach or a great guy. He gets his team. He gets what he wants. But now you're seeing he's a great coach as well, even though people are like, he made some bad choices. I still think he has Detroit on the right track. Very hard-nosed.
He was only a bad choice. He was only a bad choice away from going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So,
and I mean, it's they've been on an incline since he got there. Well, the first year was kind of rough, but after that, it's been good. But I mean, yeah, you don't have a good offensive line in Chicago. You got some weapons now. But you're going to be running for your life in Chicago.
And then even if they draft, because they have two top 10 picks, okay, you take Caleb Williams. Let's say you go draft an offensive tackle or something. He's a rookie.
Yeah, how many rookies pan out in the first year as an offensive
player? Yeah, you still got to work Humphrey? That system. Yeah.
That's like the only one I can think of.
Zach Martin?
Tony Bosa.
There's been a few, but there's also been a lot that haven't.
Yeah. Because believe it or not, you know, I know a lot of people poke fun at them offensive linemen, but their playbook is just as thick as the quarterback's playbook. So it's definitely hard, if not harder, I think.
I mean, you got to see the linebackers. You got to know stunt-wise if they're coming this way.
You got to know your gaps.
Yeah, and it's a lot different than a wide receiver or a quarterback. Quarterback sees everything. You know, you're like, okay, I got this. I got this. I know where the protection should be. Sometimes the protection's not there. Receivers run their routes. You know, they see what's in front of them. As an offensive lineman, if that crosses and they're running stunts, it's completely different. You're kind of expected to believe you're blind, but you're expected to be like, okay, I know I'm doing this if he's doing this over here. My left tackle, if he's doing that, I got this. Sometimes you're not on the same page. Calls, stadium noise. I think that's something that Caleb Williams never dealt with in the Pac-12 was stadium noise. So,
especially with them being half empty. I think it's going to be interesting. The NFL draft is like about a month and 2 weeks away. It should be definitely a entertaining draft, especially night number one. Let's talk a little NBA. You know, we're in the fourth quarter as far as the season goes. NBA playoffs are right around the corner. We talked LeBron's 40,000 a few weeks ago. So I'll ask you guys real quick, what team, if I'm a betting man, what few teams do I need to keep an eye on that might make this long stretch to the playoffs?
If you're looking just off of roster town alone, it's Boston. Top to bottom, they have point guards. They got two wings. They got Porzingis. They got depth. They have a coach. They've been proven to go deep in the playoffs. So off the top, you're looking at Boston in the West. Denver. The Thunder's young, so we'll see. But Denver's still Denver. If healthy, the Clippers. I'll tell you what. If the Lakers somehow get in the playoffs and play the Thunder the first round, it might be a first round bye for the Thunder. Even though I think the Thunder are better, top to bottom, the Lakers have better positional players that match up well with the Thunder, and that's why they
win
2 out of 3 times.
Yeah, the Lakers are the only ones that win 3 games against OKC this year.
Yeah, but if they get the Warriors, I think we have a really good shot against the Warriors moving on. Just because the Warriors were injured early on in the year, so I don't think their positioning is indicative of the team that they are. Klay's coming on, Kuminga's coming on, so I think they're sleeper team in that play-in spot. Milwaukee's good; they have depth, they have talent at every position with Dame. Shot creator, closer. So
the Heat. You can never count out the Heat in playoffs.
Yeah. As long as Jimmy B becomes Jimmy Buckets.
Yeah.
The Heat will be good. But I'd say if you're looking at four teams in the NBA, I'm just going to go to the top from East and the West. Thunder, Nuggets, and Celtics, Bucks. I think those are the four best teams. Just kind of depends on matchups from that point.
Kevin, what about
it's going to be hard for people. It's going to be hard for people to control Jokic in the playoffs, though, because that's a center that just moves with, I don't know, he runs slow. It looks like it, but he's just hard to stop. He's a triple double beast. Yeah, I think the only team in the West that could give him trouble possibly would be the Clippers. But they don't have a big that could compare to, like, the Kings, Sacramento Kings, or Sabonis, you know. He's pretty good. He leads the league in triple-doubles, or double-doubles. You know, he actually broke the record just the other day, I believe.
Yeah.
For the Sacramento Kings. So.
Teams that could make a run in the playoffs, Phoenix. They have all the talent you need. They're sitting at the 8th spot. I don't think Minnesota's going to be that team just because of Cat. If his injury lingers into the playoffs, I think he's the biggest piece of that puzzle for them. And with him being out with his, I believe, meniscus, that's a big thing. Thunder's been healthy all year, which has really benefited them as far as maintaining that current top spot. I think the East is pretty much dependent on
the Bucks or Boston. Bucks or Boston type of deal.
I think you're going to get Bucks and Boston in the finals for the East. Who they're going to meet in those second rounds just kind of depends. I think it'll honestly be Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and I think the Heat might make it in there as well as that fourth team for the second round.
So right now, some live scores. You got the Trailblazers leading the Bulls 13-12. Tied game, Miami, Philadelphia. Boston is up 50-39 against the Pistons. And then halftime, the Cavaliers and the Pacers, 54, all tied. Oklahoma City is doing good. You know, that's where we're kind of hailing, Kansas and Oklahoma City. If you're the Thunder, who do you want to play first round?
Who do you want to play first round?
Yeah, lowest seed possible, or
no? If you're taking the pick, it's because right now it's Mavericks, Suns, Warriors, Lakers, 7-10. If you're taking one of those four, give me Phoenix.
Yeah, because their big three haven't really had gel together. They haven't played many games together. So if Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant's almost a mainstay, but if he's got ankle issues, Bradley Beal has issues with the legs.
Yeah.
Devin Booker's been having issues. And I don't think they haven't been together long enough, played long enough together. I'd rather play Phoenix than anybody.
Yeah. I think
Golden State, you don't want to because of the camaraderie, the experience in playoffs.
Steph purely.
LeBron comes.
Purely Steph. That dude can make shots when nobody else can. He can go.
He'll put you to sleep.
Say Golden State plays Oklahoma City round one. Oklahoma City plays the first two here since we're the higher seed. If Golden State wins that first one, and all of a sudden it becomes Golden State has the home field advantage or the home court. You don't want that. Their court is crazy, and it's all because of what Steph does. They have tremendous home court advantage. Whereas Phoenix, like you said, I don't think Bradley Beal is the Bradley Beal of old. I don't think they have great chemistry. No. Kevin Durant's going to get his, but he's not going to – he might have one or two games where he shoots lights out, but
– Well, his past few games, he's only averaged 12 points, so he's not the Kevin Durant. Here recently, and that's been with Booker and Bill in the lineup. So, I mean, there's no gel, there's no chemistry in that at all.
And then the Lakers just have size, man. It's LeBron, they got size. Even though I don't think they are that great, I think they match up very well versus OKC. Whereas if they match up against Denver in the first round, I think Denver beats them in five. But if they match up against the Thunder, it's a seven-game series. Mm. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
We're going to quick get into the final topic before we get out of here. Monday Night Raw preview, first 25 minutes is already live on the air. You have Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax tonight in a last woman standing match. I'm pretty sure that's going to main event. Gunther and Sami Zayn make their WrestleMania Intercontinental Championship match official. I'm sure in a contract signing. DIY battles the Creed Brothers in a tag team qualifying match for WrestleMania. Awesome Truth go up against Indus Shear for a spot on the line WrestleMania's qualifying match. These are all pretty guessable who's going to take those spots. But this one is going to be interesting. The Alpha Academy face the New Day in a WrestleMania tag team qualifying match. The winners of those qualifying matches will go into a ladder match at WrestleMania. So one of the big things that I want to talk about is not really have anything much to do with tonight's Raw show, but we'll talk results on Wednesday, is, you know, getting ready to talk about the story. Whose story is more important to finish? Is it Cody Rhodes or is it going to be Roman Reigns? Like, everybody... I think everybody is so fascinated on Cody Rhodes finishing the story that I think WWE almost has to give it to him now. I think they've booked themselves into a corner. They're like, Roman has got a lot on the line too, being not only just continuing to be the guy, but like keeping the belt, breaking Hogan's record all the way into September, keeping it for a total of 4 years. Like, I don't think it's a given that it's going to be Cody, but I think WWE kind of booked themselves that now it has to be.
Yes, they did. And I mean, you know, it's Dwayne Johnson. Let's call him that.
So for somebody for somebody who's been out of the WWE space for a little bit, Vince McMahon's gone. Yeah. Who's in charge? Is it still Stephanie and Triple H?
Stephanie left too.
Okay, that's what I thought. Is Triple H still there?
Triple H is still there. If anything, he's in charge of creative and I believe talent, of signing talent into the company.
But he's not the
guy. I think technically it's TKO Endeavor, right?
Yep.
That they now answer to a board, the same board that owns the UFC also owns the WWE. So
Triple H, same board, The Rock.
Yeah. And The Rock is on the board too, like for real. It's not just a storyline. He's legit on the board.
Yep.
So it's almost like Triple H is answering to The Rock and the board, which is funny.
It is.
But I also think Triple H has more power than some people let on to believe.
He has more pull now since Vince is gone.
Yeah. And you can definitely tell the product is just, it's just a fresh paint. Yeah, it's fresh. And I think this WrestleMania coming up, being the 40th anniversary, the 40th edition, I really do think it's going to be just, it's officially closing the chapter on whatever McMahon had his stamp on, and everything moving forward is just going to be Triple H balls to the walls the way he wants to make everything feel.
Are we going to get early 2000s, late 90s WWE back, or is it still going to be PG?
You know, that's a thing that's interesting to talk about. I read that there's a lot of people backstage. The Rock's promos lately have been, let's just say, pretty mouthy. And there's a lot of people that it's rubbing the wrong way backstage because he's kind of saying whatever he wants, whether they have to bleep it out or not. So it's interesting to see if they're just letting him do that and testing the waters and seeing how things react, or if it's just him pulling his weight around. But it's going to be interesting to see where they go in the next several weeks, especially knowing that next January they're going to be, Monday Night Raw is going to be on Netflix only,
which could be a lot more hardcore,
vulgar. Yeah.
And they don't have to answer to TV or anything like that.
Yeah,
I think it's a move in the right direction. I hope it's not ever going to go back to that attitude era, but it could be a new era.
And it doesn't. I don't think it needs to be, because you go back to the Attitude Era, and yeah, it was vulgar, probably some of the most entertaining promos of all time. But if you sit there and really look at the Attitude Era, how many terrific 5-star matches were they really pulling off?
I think talent wise, back in the Attitude Era, talent wise, it was all for show. It was a lot of in your face. That's what you saw. You didn't really pay attention to the talent. I think, you know, from what I've seen and, you know, here recently, I think where the WWE is at now, it's a little more athletic, a little more defined, whereas it was kind of raw back in the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Back in the 90s and everything, if you could talk shit, you could get on TV.
Yeah.
If you did it the right way. And back it up a little bit. You know, a lot of the wrestlers now, there's so much more talent out there, and some of them don't have mic skills. I think that's what hurts them.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they're not showcased as much. There's so much talent on that roster. They just can't talk.
Yeah.
You know, they're.
Jake Paul doing his thing? Or Logan Paul?
Logan Paul's not bad. He's not bad.
He's also got a nice, pretty promotional skill, too. For the first time ever, WWE is letting a imprinted logo, sponsored print, in the middle of the ring for any of their shows, starting with WrestleMania. So he's going to have a giant Prime bottle imprinted on the mat in the middle of the ring. So More power to him, because you know that's money.
What about Mysterio's kid? Is he still? Because I remember he had a match back.
Dominic, I believe. Yeah. I enjoy watching everything Dominic does. I think
he's hated so much.
Yeah, he's hated so much, but I think in ring wise, he's in. I'm gonna get some heat for this, but in ring wise, I think he's steps above Rey Mysterio. At least at this age, so young. Like his body of language, and it may just because you can see the facial expressions on Dominic compared to where how Rey Mysterio's behind a mask.
Yeah,
yeah.
But athletically, like Dominic's up there. He's pretty fun to watch.
Well, you also got to remember Rey was WCW.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a difference between those companies then.
But
Dominic is talented. I just know
Rey had Jake. That pool though. Rey had the pool. He had the crowd. He had the following. Where you know Dominic may be a little bit more refined, but man,
Dominic's probably the best heel. He's doing the heel wise that his dad could never do. You know, Dominic is that bad guy. You have to hate him. It'd be hard to turn him into a good guy.
Yeah.
A face, it really would.
The only way I can see that is if the Judgment Day just completely give him the Randy Orton treatment and kick him out the way Evolution kicked out Orton.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Raw results, I think it'll be fun to talk about on Wednesday. Who won these tag team matches getting into Mania? Maybe is there some kind of surprises going on with the hint of a ladder match at WrestleMania? We'll also have an AEW preview on Wednesday's show. But Wednesday, we're going to be talking a lot about who won some of the big games. On Tuesday, who's in, who's out. And Wednesday, we're also going to be talking, like I said, Raw results, who won some of these matches tonight. That leads us to Wednesday, Episode 2, March 20th, 6:30 p.m., same time, Wednesday night. Guys, what do you think? Do you enjoy hanging out talking sports for the hour?
Yeah, I haven't talked sports with anybody in a while, so.
So we'll dive into some new segments and some new stories on Wednesday. Other than that, guys, I think we had a pretty good hour, and should be pretty fun. If you guys want to talk movies with us, send us in some emails. The next movie that we'll talk about is Sunday, March 24th, Robin Williams, Patch Adams. So again. If you're watching us, live on Amos Awa Productions YouTube channel, you're listening to us wherever you can listen to podcasts at. Kevin, Craig, anything else you guys want to add before we get out of here and go catch some NBA action or go watch some Monday Night Raw?
No, sir. Okay. Just everybody have a safe night.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Episode 2, Wednesday, March 20th, 6:30 p.m. For episode 2 of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast presents Sports Breakers. So have a good night, guys.
Later.